Good morning. Welcome to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas. I'm president of Dave Fox Design Builder Modelers here in Columbus, Ohio. Really glad to have you all tuning in this it's January 20th. And gosh, we have Martin Luther King Day coming up tomorrow. So maybe some of you have a holiday. Maybe some of you will be working. And last week, if you had a chance to listen to our show, I was talking with Jamie about social media. So if you missed that, you can always go to DaveFoxRadio.com and listen to any of our previously broadcast shows. Today, I have Mark Aubrey with me. Mark, good to have you here. And Mark, you're with Greenscapes, so you've been on the show obviously a lot.
Yes, once or twice before. Thanks for having me, Gary.
Okay. So good. I always love having you on, Mark, because I can ask you all my questions about my yard, my trees, and my bushes. And
that's what we're here for.
Okay, good deal. All right. So, Mark, we do a lot of work with your company. You know, you work on a lot of the big projects that we do. And so just take a few minutes to tell our listeners about Greenscapes, what you guys do, and how that process works.
Great. Thanks, Gary. So Greenscapes has been in Columbus for over 40 years now. So just like Dave Fox, we're a pretty well-established organization for what we do. We basically take care of everything that Dave Fox doesn't. So when the house building stops, that's where we start. So it can be something as easy as a little cleanup at your home, or you know, a little bit of planting work or adjusting your existing landscape, or it could be, you know, something fairly large, a pool with, you know, an outdoor structure of some type, a pergola, you know, paving, walls, and, you know, as far as our clients want to go is where we go.
Mm-hmm. So, Mark, when clients come to you with ideas, I know just like on the remodeling side of things, sometimes they'll have very specific thoughts about what they want to accomplish. Other times they just say, I have this problem, and I need help. How do you find that play out when you're designing landscape?
Well, just like any good project, we want to start with a good plan. And part of that plan is to go through that interview process so we can find out what they really want. Some clients, you know, everybody's different and everybody's unique, and we've learned to work well with everybody. Some people come to us, like you said, with very specific ideas. We want this size patio with this material and a planting here and screening here. And they're very specific on what they want. And that's great. And, you know, we take their ideas and, you know, maybe adjust them a little bit just because of size or some functionality. But by and large, we're going to give them what they asked for. And unless we see a problem, you know, some sort of structure or movement problem, you know, we're going to point that out and say, you know, maybe we should think about this for these reasons. But we're going to do, you know, what they want and build it the best we can and execute it as well as we can. And like you said, there's also the other end of the coin where, you know, someone will come to us and they say, well, we'd like to spend more time outside. And that's all they know they want. They just want some space. And so, you know, by our interview process, we kind of break down and try to get to, you know, a couple little ideas or thoughts that they have that we can really build off of. They may think that they want just a place to sit, but you know, you start to break it down and what time of day, are there views that you like or dislike, are there plants you've had in the past that you like or dislike, are there colors? And so just by talking to them, you know, we can get to at least have the client understand that they have more ideas than what they think they do.
Hmm. Yeah, I know my wife, when she's thinking about planting something in the backyard or front yard, she's always thinking about where the sun's shining and what the soil's like. And she's more of the outdoor gardening type person. I am not. I think AstroTurf looks great.
It's always green and it doesn't take a lot
exactly.
to mow.
Exactly. Yeah, what's the matter with that? But she enjoys, you know, the outdoor stuff. And, of course, I'm the one out there digging the holes and doing all that stuff. But I know we were one of the shows that I had you on, Mark, I was asking you about our roses in the back, and you were mentioning about the sunlight and how much they're getting. And you were spot on because we had some that weren't growing and they were getting way too much shade. So she kind of rearranged, which meant, by the way, that meant more work for me. Man. I had to get the shovel out.
Sorry about that.
Move stuff. But I know with plants, there's so many of them, and they all have their own personalities and their own needs. And that's got to greatly add a lot of complexity to just what you can do in terms of plantings and outdoor work.
That's very true. You know, a lot of times we run into issues just like you're describing, where it seems like, you know, maybe we're going to plant this rose, but it's adjacent to a tree, but it's on the south side of the house and should get exposure to sun most of the day. And, you know, we haven't lived in the house. We haven't been there long enough to really witness how the shade affects plants. Mm-hmm. I mean, we take our best, you know, educated guess on what we think, but, you know, we had a client and just that same exact thing where we did a grouping of roses and there were five or so that were in complete sun. And then there were three like off to the side that just got a little bit of shade. And it seemed like, okay, they're going to get a little bit of shade, but because of the rest of the day, they should be okay. Mm-hmm. We ended up switching those plants out for the client just because, you know, it was just, you could see such a dramatic difference between mm-hmm. just those couple plants. And they're literally right next to each other in wow. one big grouping. And it's just the last two on the end, just you can see the difference. So there's all, that's why we always want to interact with the clients really well, to try to find those little things like that in the yard so we can try to understand that and give the client the best solution we can.
Yeah. And shade even, I mean, it could be from a structure, the mm-hmm. house or garage, or it could be from trees that are going to grow and get bigger. So that changes over time too.
Right. Yeah. That's the other part of, you know, planting is, you know, you have your seasons change every year, the angle of the sun, how much we have, how it affects, like you said, the house, surrounding trees, big trees, you know, those are all an ever-changing thing that we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of plantings, if you had your ideal scenario, what side or what direction would you want to be working? Would you want to be on the north side, east side, west side, or south side of the house?
I guess it would be, you know, usually the south and the west are, you know, pretty hot. So you have one selection of plants. Usually the north is usually very shaded just by how everything works out. Mm-hmm. And the east side is usually a little, you know, gets a little bit of sun, but not enough to be full sun and not enough to be, you know, full shade. So that's a hard question to ask. I would say maybe the southeast side would be good, where you mm-hmm. get some sun, but then as the sun travels during the day, then you're getting some shade mm-hmm. in later in the day.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you have certain types of projects or certain types of plantings that work good on all those different sides, depending
yeah.
on.
Yeah, we work off our long history of, you know, of working outside, so we have a pretty good list of plants that we like to use. Some we feel very consistent about, and you know, there's always new plants coming out. We're always a little, I guess, wary of, you know, where we see all these new plants and they look like they're great. Early in my career, I learned firsthand that there was a new perennial that came out. Everybody said it was great. We use a different color of that same perennial a lot. So we use this other one that's a little bit more red. And I think the next year we replaced them all because
really?
they just didn't make it, or they just didn't thrive. Hmm. And so we were excited about it and really wanted to use it, but we used a lot. So, you know, we replaced all those plants, of course, but, you know, our history has given us that long list of things we feel very
sure.
confident that we know are going to grow and we don't have to worry about them too much.
Yeah. You know, the same thing happens with new products that come out for us. We don't really know how they're going to perform over time. And sometimes we end up pulling stuff out and replacing it. So I guess it goes with the territory.
Yeah, the joy of building.
Yeah. Well, Mark, great. We're going to take a quick break. After the break, I want to talk about, you know, our season right now and some of the things that people need to be thinking about. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas from Dave Fox Design Builder Remodelers. Really glad to have you all listening this morning. And I have Mark Aubrey with me from Greenscapes. And Mark, during the break, you know, during our last segment, I was kind of joking about I like AstroTurf and stuff. And then during our break, you were saying, well, we actually have used some AstroTurf. So I want to hear about that. Tell
yeah.
me.
There are pretty specific projects. One client lived in a very shaded area, and they had a little area on the side of their house where they would let their dogs out. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the dogs would go out, they'd dig around, they'd tear it up, and then to clean it up in the wintertime, it became kind of disgusting and always hard, you know, when the dog's in and out, you know, on a winter's day, they're a little muddy. So they asked us about, you know, the new types of turf. You know, there everybody knows about field turf for baseball stadiums and football stadiums, but they've developed that now to be a pretty good residential product. And so we put that down along their side yard, and they love it. It's a wonderful solution. It meets all of their needs, and they don't have to worry about the dogs anymore because it's all fenced in, and that's what that area is for. So they just let the dogs out. Dogs go out, come in, and they don't have to worry about wiping it up or wiping their paws up from the dirt or anything.
And this is easy to clean dog waste off of?
Yeah, it is. And some of the turfs are designed for that application. We did a small project for the OSU Vet Hospital, and we used that product, and that's what it was for. You know, you can imagine a vet hospital.
Yeah.
You know, they have quite a bit of dogs going outside all year long, so they needed something consistent that isn't going to get torn up. And, you know, how do you reseed an area that has use all year long? The other house was over in Bexley, and it was a small backyard, same thing, very wooded, and they wanted a place for their kids to play, and, you know, turf grass was not going to grow there. So those two applications, it worked wonderfully. If you look at different markets, you know, farther south and to the west, they'll do their whole yards in grass or, you know, fake grass because, you know, of watering costs and, you know, grass, warmer the grasses just don't grow as well. They're not as, they're a little different than what we have here. So for them, you know, people want a green yard. Well, you roll it out and you have a green yard all year long. You don't have to water it. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's actually sounds like a great solution for the dogs getting, going out and it's muddy and it's wet or partially frozen or partially thawed. And gosh, you know, we don't have dogs now. I've had dogs all my life, but you know, we decided to take a break from dogs. But I remember all those times of just, oh my gosh, the dog's feet are all muddy. I got to wipe them off.
Right.
What a pain that was.
Right. And you know, if the snow gets too hot, too deep, you just shovel it off, just like anything else. So now the dogs have grass to. If you have a smaller dog, it's hard to shovel your grass in the wintertime.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. Didn't know that stuff existed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here we are in the wintertime in Ohio, and it could be 0 degrees or it could be 50 degrees. We don't know what it's going to be.
Just wait.
Yeah, just wait. If you don't like the weather today, wait till tomorrow. So what do people need to think about for this season? Maybe they're thinking about what they're going to do in the spring or in the summer. What do you usually find with clients? What are they thinking about this time of year?
Well, you know, this is a great time for planning for the springtime. Our work has become very popular, and the timeline from the time we talk to a client till the time we actually start, you know, is getting a little longer and not quite as quick as what most people expect it to be. So, you know, it could be, depending on the complexity of the project, you know, from the first time we meet till the time we sign a contract, you know, that could be 3 weeks. It could be 10 weeks, depending on, you know, all the details. So now's a great time to be meeting with us, sitting down, talking about your goals. You know, are you talking about just a small project? You know, we don't like seeing our neighbor's house, so we want to add some evergreens. And some of these projects we can do in the wintertime, you know, such as a tree planting, you know, the bigger trees don't mind being planted in the wintertime. So that's something we could do. But if you're talking about, you know, patios, pools, structures, you know, just like any construction project, we have to get, you know, maybe HOA approval or permits for it. So we can get through the design phase, through the permitting and, you know, sort of government approval phase. And when spring finally arrives, we can be ready to start rather than starting the process. And it just helps us get that much further along and get your project built quicker.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mark, I was just talking with one of our clients, I think a couple of days ago, and we were outside. We just finished some work for them, and they were talking about some outdoor work that needed done. And they were saying, yeah, in the spring, we're going to get with greenscapes and we're going to talk. I said, well, wait a minute now. You better be doing that now, because if you wait till spring, you know, you guys are going to be head over heels in work in the spring, Mark. And people, it's so right. People need to be thinking about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's a lot of people that are thinking about what they're going to do in the spring or the summer in terms of landscape. And probably a lot of them are thinking, yeah, just like my client was thinking, yeah, in the spring I'm going to get a hold of them and see what we can do. But right now is the time to do that.
Right. That's exactly right, Gary. It's we always recommend that people be at least a season ahead. So if you'd like something in the spring, come to us in the wintertime. If you like mm-hmm. something in the summer, the spring is fine. For most landscape things, we always recommend a season ahead. And if you're talking about a bigger project, and especially something that includes a pool, you know, that needs to be two seasons ahead because of the planning and just the timeline to get all of those things built. So just like any construction project, we need to be ahead so we can get as many questions as answered. And so when the men are at the house starting the work, we don't have to worry about, oh, do we think about this? Or, you know, we don't have any on the fly changes. Everything's pretty much worked out.
Yeah. So really the time factors in design are kind of twofold. One is just how long is it going to take for you to go to the drawing board and mm-hmm. come up with a plan and present it. But it's nice to have time to think about a plan, you know, for the homeowners not to be in such a tight time frame that they have to like pull the trigger right away. You're showing them the plan. If they want to get it done in the time frame they want, they got to sign today, you know, to get it on your schedule. That puts a lot of pressure on people, especially when there's creativity involved. And obviously all design work is creative. So it's nice to have time to dwell and think about the drawings that you've received and just live in your house and kind of you can envision how that will be outside, and you spend a week or two or a month just thinking about all of that. It almost always affects what the final design will be.
That's very true. And most of the time, the changes are nothing big, but it's, you know, small changes. Well, I think I'd like this patio if it had a little bit more curves, or, you know, if it had this mm-hmm. or a few plants over here. So usually, like you said, it's pretty correct and they're pretty happy with it, but it's those little changes that, well, what if we added a little accent wall over here, or, you know, if we did this little thing. Those are the small changes that takes a good project to a great project.
Exactly.
And of course, time is always the factor. And so if someone has a, you know, an extra 2 weeks to sit or a week to sit and look at the plan and really think about it and say, you mm-hmm. know, I really like this, then you just feel more sure about what's going to be built in the end.
Yeah, exactly. It's just nice having some breathing space mm-hmm. in terms of time to look through drawings. And sometimes, you know, you'll meet with people and you'll have all these drawings ready and they'll have specific ideas on what to change. So you got to go back, you got to make some changes, and then that takes time. And then you meet again with them and they look that over. And then once you arrive on that final plan, and like you say, the bigger the project, the more time you've got to allow for that back and forth design process. But then, when they arrive at a final plan, they like it if they have just some time to think that through and imagine that in their home and they're not rushed. That works great.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark, we're in the winter here, and some people might have a few things that they want to be accomplishing through the winter. So we got a break coming up here. And after that break, Mark, I want to talk about some of the things people can do around their homes with the season that we're in right now. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. And this morning we are talking landscaping. And I've got Mark from Greenscapes with me. Mark, good to have you here.
Thanks, Gary. It's good to be here.
So, Mark, in the last segment we were talking, about AstroTurf, right? And
right.
Some really cool applications for that, which I never thought of. I was kind of jokingly saying I'd like my yard done in AstroTurf, but you're saying, hey, man, there may be a reason why you can at least do part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, there definitely is.
So... and then we also talked about coming up right now, we're going to talk about some of the things people may be able to do right now in this winter season in their homes, or not in their homes, but outside their homes.
Right. You know, most of the things that we recommend for winter work outside are simple maintenance things that can really be happening anytime. You know, the first thing in the wintertime, and depending on how much snow we have, it can be very important or not important, is your mulch depth in your landscape bed should always be just about 2 inches. In the summertime, that's great for, you know, moisture retention and keeping the root temperature a little colder, so nothing dries out. But in the wintertime, it also helps to keep the roots insulated from the cold winter temperatures. And whenever we have a cold winter with very little snow, we can see a lot of plant death from plants that just freeze out. And part of that is when we have cold temperatures and no snow, usually our humidity is very low. And just like in the summertime, trying to keep the moisture in, that mulch keeps the moisture in the wintertime. Because, you know, cold temperatures, windy, low humidity, it just takes all the moisture right out of the ground. That can dry out the root system, and then we can have plant death. There was a house, I can remember specifically, there was a house over on Henderson Road with a whole huge, beautiful row of butterfly bushes. And one winter, it was a very cold winter just like that, and they all died. Just because, you know, they may have died anyway, but I don't know what the mulch depth was, but, you know, it was a cold winter, not much snow, and it's great to keep your mulch about 2 inches just to keep everything insulated and very happy for your plants.
That's interesting, because I hadn't thought about mulch being a help in the winter season. Because you're talking about cold weather with no snow, but when you do have a blanket of snow, it's amazing how that insulates the ground.
Right.
And I remember years ago, Mark, I was building a pole barn for myself on some property I owned, and there was about 12 inches of snow on the ground, and it was really cold. So I had to dig holes for these posts and pour concrete in them. So I dug one afternoon. I was just kind of brushing the snow, digging snow out of the way to kind of see what the ground was like. And it was completely unfrozen.
Right. Still a little soft.
It was soft and you could dig. And I thought, oh, this will be great. Tomorrow I'll dig these holes. Well, every area that I had uncovered was frozen the next day.
Yeah.
But it just was a really vivid example of how much insulation factor snow really has.
Right. And, you know, that's, you know, some snow down on the landscape is actually pretty beneficial for it, because just like you said, it keeps everything insulated, because, mm-hmm. you know, the air temperature, you know, could be 0 degrees, but the snow is always going to be about the same temperature, and it just keeps the ground warmer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is there any moving of items that can be done through this season?
As far as stuff to move, you have to be very careful. Sometimes you can move a bigger plant. That could be good. You just have to, it really depends on what the type of plant it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, like you said, it also depends on the ground. If the ground's a little soft still, then you have a good possibility of doing it. But if the ground is frozen, then, you know, that's, you're going to have a hard time digging a hole.
Sure.
And when you try to backfill it, all of your soil is now going to be, you know, chunky and rocky and hard to break up.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of air hole or porous air or big air holes in around the root ball then, and that can mm-hmm. cause another set of problems. So it's really specific for every wintertime and plant.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to move like a small bush, when is the best time to actually do that?
Like I said, a lot depends on the time of year, but usually most things, once in the springtime, early in the spring, just as the ground thaws, before things start to grow, is usually a good time. And then usually a little later in the fall is a good time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So what else do people need to think about this season?
You know, this is a good time for tree work. We have a lot of clients who we have, you know, doing tree pruning and removal. It's nice to do tree pruning now because you can see the structure of the plant, of the tree, mm-hmm. without the leaves on it.
That makes sense.
So you can really see what it's like, you know, and that was really helpful. And usually we do a lot of large tree removal this time of year because normally the ground's frozen, so it's easier to work around the tree without doing a lot of damage to the yard.
Mm-hmm.
But usually this is a very good time to do tree pruning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also along with that, if you haven't cut back your perennials too, you can always do that because the plant is dormant. So cutting back your perennials, you could still do that now if you want to venture outside in the cold.
Yeah. Okay. I was talking with you one of our shows about a huge lilac bush that I have that likes to grow and overtake the walkway. It's, I mean, this thing is giant. It's probably, I don't know, 12 feet around and maybe 8 feet high.
That's a big plant.
Yeah. And it just keeps growing out. And I keep having to prune or, you know, trim the bush from overhanging our walkway. So would this be a decent time to do that?
Well, you know, plant pruning like that, you have to be very careful of, because specifically a lilac blooms, you know, in the late spring, and it sets up its bloom right after it's done blooming, like in June. So the best time to prune that lilac would be in, you know, as soon as it's done blooming in May and prune it in June. So if you pruned it now, you would be pruning off all of the color.
Okay. So like on that side, right?
Right, right. And, you know, most plants, when you do that pruning and you get into some live branches, because they're not really growing much or they don't have a lot of internal activity, they won't be able to heal like they would, you know, in the summertime or in the fall. So you're leaving all of those pruning marks open to disease and, you know, insects. Now, big trees, usually they're, because they're so big, they can overcome that, and they start growing really early in the spring when you can't see them. So they have a lot of movement as soon as it starts to warm up. So it's a little bit different plant biology, but usually we try to stick with bigger pruning rather than that finer sort of detailed pruning.
And speaking of trees, what's the situation with ash trees now?
Well, we've for quite a number of years, we've stopped planting them, of course, when the emerald ash borer started. And so that's still a major problem. It will be here for forever. And we have heard about some hybrid ash trees where what the nurserymen do is go back to where the bug originated from, and they breed the native species with our native species. So they try to come up with a hybrid plant that has the qualities that we're looking for, but it has sort of a little bit of plant biology from, you know, from China, where the beetle is from. And, you know, you sort of make a new plant that can withstand its onslaught. There's a lot of borers that attack all of our landscape every day, but most of the plants we use can fight it off, or it doesn't affect the plant enough to kill it. So there is normal borers that every plant gets. There is, there's a lot of them that we could go through the list, but that'd be another show. That, you know, the most plants, they get the borer, it doesn't damage it enough to really kill it, and then it goes away. We will always have our native ash trees here because the borer only affects trees of a certain size, and usually those trees are allowed to seed before they get infected. So we will always have a native stand. We're just never going to see any giant ash trees ever again.
Oh, that's interesting. I wasn't aware of that. Okay, Mark, we're going to take a quick break. After the break, I want to talk about some hardscape. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, and we are talking about landscaping this morning. I'm talking with Mark Aubrey from Greenscapes. So, Mark, during the break, you're talking a little bit about the ash trees and the borer ash beetle, and tell me, repeat to our listeners what you told me about how that we'll always have ash trees.
Right. So what happens basically is when an ash tree grows, it needs to be of a certain size before the borer really infect it and eat it, basically. But at that, about at that same size, that's where it becomes mature enough to really produce seeds. So what we've seen is that the trees get big enough, they produce seeds, they get attacked by the borer, and they decline and die. Well, the trees are getting, you know, like I said, big enough to have seeds, so there will always be ash trees growing natively, but they're never going to get big enough to be the big ash trees that we've seen in the past, where they have huge trunk diameter. So there will always be some growing in the native landscapes, but they'll never going to be anything like we've seen in the past.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I know there are some treatments, for instance, if you have ash trees in your home and they're still healthy. I know I have one in my front yard, and we try to have it treated every year. But I think that's kind of hit or miss, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been successful to a point. You have to be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. A lot depends on the growth of the tree that you do, you know, the application, and then the tree takes it up. So hopefully there's no damage in the tree where you could have, from whatever reason, you could have damage on one side of the tree. So the medicine isn't getting taken into the whole tree. So there could be some bare spots where it's not working as well. Mm-hmm. Now, what we've done with most of our clients is counsel them to say, you know, rather than treat this tree forever, we should probably look at having it removed and putting a new type of tree in, just from a cost standpoint. Yeah. Because after, you know, if you're treating your tree every year, at some point you're going to outweigh the cost benefit of keeping the tree. Now, some people have trees and they say, well, we're okay with that. And but that's at least a discussion we like to have with our clients.
Or maybe they wait until this new hybrid comes around that can withstand the onslaught of those little beetles.
They'll be here sooner or later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, so hardscape. What is hardscape?
So hardscapes would be, you know, anything we walk on outside. Concrete, asphalt, pavers, brick, natural stone. So our patios, driveways, and walkways.
Mm-hmm. And obviously that has a lot to do with a lot of your design work and landscape.
Very true. You know, for example, there's newer porcelain tiles that have come out for our environment that are beautiful, but they're a large format square material. So when we have a client that requests that, we try to design a patio that responds to the material. So if you want a most of these pieces are 24 by 24 or some size close to that. So,
and they're thick too, aren't they?
They're thick, and we want to do a more of a square design. We don't want to do a big curved design because they're hard to cut.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine cutting a porcelain tile as hard as they are that thick.
Yes, and the price to do that would be, you know, it would just outweigh the benefit. So we've done a number of those patios, and we always try to, you know, curtail the design to meet the product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these porcelain tiles, which are truly amazing because they can look like anything, and they look very realistic. I've seen some that can be elevated on platforms, like for a raised surface.
Yep. There's quite a few applications. We just put some in at the Day Fox office in the front walkway, or little display walkway. There's a few out there. There's a display there that the manufacturer gave us to show the material. Mm-hmm. But like one of your specific applications would be on a roof deck where they do have these plastic spacers, basically pedestals that we, you know, level out and then just set the tile on top of them. Mm-hmm. So you get that look of stone, or, you know, that tile look on top of your deck. And it works out really, really well. It gives you a different look. And like I said, you see a lot in, it started out in a big commercial application thing for, you know, rooftop gardens where they really started on. And now they've slowly worked their way to the residential side.
Mm-hmm. And is that picking up steam? I know whenever new products are introduced, it takes a while for the public to become aware of them and start using them.
Yeah, they are. They started off a lot of excitement and, you know, a little bit different design because it's a little bit more modern design because everything has a long line and more of a square design. So it's you have to be liking that type of design. I don't think it would match very well if you have very natural, design. And then we try to put this product in. I don't think that would be a good match, but you know, people who like it, you know, really like it. And it does look really, really nice. It's, like you said, it's very dense. Very easy to clean, and it works out great.
Yeah, great. So, Mark, you'd mentioned that you put some of those in at the display out at our showroom, and I do want to remind the folks that you guys have a very nice outdoor display at our office there at 3505 West Dublin Granville Road, so people can stop by there and see some of your handiwork.
Yes, that's the fountain that we have in at your front door is one of my favorite things. It's a very nice custom fountain.
Yeah,
and it runs all year long.
Perpetual fountain.
Yes.
And you've got a nice patio area with a curved space and a curved wall.
Yep, some nice little seat walls, a nice patio, and then a couple of different materials along the walkway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some natural brick, clay brick, which, you know, was very popular in the 70s and kind of fell out of fell out of favor a little bit, but it's always been a good product. It was just sort of, that was what was available, so it got used a lot and people kind of got bored of it. Now there are so many products available that, you know, it comes back strong, and it has a nice, it has a texture and a feel to it that a concrete product just can't match.
Interesting. So speaking of product and new product, what is on the horizon, or what is new for outdoor landscape areas?
Well, you know, just like we talked about the porcelain tiles, there's a lot of concrete pavers, which we like a lot too, and there's some at the office. But it still has that feel of a tile where it has a little bit more of a square edge with just a slight texture on it.
Yeah.
Different sizes, you know, big format ones and some smaller ones. But that's, you know, we see a lot of those. A lot of clients are selecting it. I like it personally quite a bit because of the look you get. And it can, that's a product that can bounce between different, you know, design type. So if you have a more natural landscape, it can fit that. If you have a more modern landscape, it can fit that.
Yeah.
So it is a flexible, and there's lots of nice colors in those types of pavers, which work out very, very well.
Yeah. You know, Mark, a lot of people have wood decks, and a lot of people hate wood decks because
very
of the
true.
Maintenance. And we're having a lot of requests, even if they do have a wood deck, to take all the surface off and put the composite decking material down because it lasts longer and less care and maintenance. But with all the decks in Columbus and the people fighting the maintenance on these wood decks, you're probably getting calls to take those out and put hardscaped in? Or what? How's that process?
Yeah, we have quite a bit of the same thing where the client has, you know, old wood deck, they've power washed it, they've sealed it, painted it, stained it, and, you know, it's still a wood deck. It still has a lifespan. And a lot of that has to depend on how it's built and how it fits in the overall design. For a shorter deck, you know, say that something that's 24 inches or below off the ground, usually those decks are too close to the ground where they don't get a lot of air movement underneath it. So the wood, you know, is always constantly wet and shaded, and so those decks don't last as long. So then we try to, that's in a good position, that switching to a hardscape, a paver patio, works out really, really well.
Great. Well, Mark, it's been great having you on this morning. Really appreciate you spending time on our show and informing people about outdoors and landscaping. Next week, I'm going to be talking with Carol Ricks from Car Supply. So we'll be talking about plumbing fixtures, and Car is a great company here in the Columbus area. And we just appreciate everyone tuning in. You can always reach us by email at info@davefox.com. Or come visit our site, davefox.com, and we'd love to have you stop by and visit. I'm Gary Demas, and we will be back here next Sunday morning at 8.